Welcome to Biceps and Banter with expert trainer Brandon Crow. Hold on to your dumbbells and get ready for this conversational style podcast focused on interesting everyday dribble with tasty tidbits of health-related information sprinkled in. Enjoy.
I'm here with Allie, the owner of Harmony Fitness. Allie, say hi.
Hi.
And we're going to be diving in deep, talking all about entrepreneurship, how Allie got started, and a bunch of other cool stuff. So, Allie, maybe for the people that don't know, how did you get your start? And okay, no, let's start way back. Let's start with your schooling. What did you go to school for?
Okay, I went to McGill University for exercise physiology and physical education. And then I followed that with another 5 years at Ryerson, and I did nutritional sciences and became a registered dietitian, and which took me to working in hospital in a clinical setting. I was working in home care because that's what I was told is the best to understand the inside of people's lives. And then I started writing some books with a group of doctors for neurologically challenged kids. We were doing exercise and nutrition books for kids with acquired brain injuries before the age of five.
And so you helped write these books?
I did. I wrote a couple of books.
Oh, wow. What are they called?
Nutrition for Children with Acquired Brain Injuries and Exercise. That was actually, it's Water Therapies for Children with Acquired Brain Injuries.
So what's the water therapy?
Water therapy, at the time that we were working with, and I'm forgetting the name of the product, but it was a life vest that allowed children to stand upright in the water. Mm-hmm. Again, these kids didn't have the strength to be able to do things on their own. Many of them were wheelchair bound or bound to walkers or canes. And these vests allowed them to be totally upright in the water. And then they would do water running and they would do water physiotherapy.
Wow. How long did you do that?
I did that for about 18 months, almost 2 years. And along with the exercise start, part of it was a neurological stim part, similar like a TENS machine. And the kids would be muscle stimulated during their sleep when growth and development happens to get stronger while they slept, because during the day they're always going through all of these therapies and expending all of their energy that they didn't have time to sit and do muscle training and cardio training. So in the nighttime they were being muscle stimmed to get stronger.
Wow. So you've always wanted to help. It seems like you've always been in the realm of health, fitness, helping people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And very cool with that, we started training the Olympic rowing team, because what the rowers were finding is that they were breaking their ribs because they were doing so much training on their backs during the day, and they run out of time also. So we were doing low-level stimulation while they were sleeping on their abs and on their rib cage, so that they didn't have to spend the time doing muscle strengthening on the front part of their body when they could focus on the back.
Wow, that's cool. So you did that for 2 years?
And then, almost 2 years, yeah.
And then what was after that?
From there, I have to think. I believe that from there, I took over Leslie Beck's nutrition practice at the Adelaide Center, the Adelaide Club. Leslie Beck is a fantastic dietitian, and she was going on to MedCan, so I luckily got her a job, and I was a dietitian at, again, the Adelaide Club. Downtown, it was an affiliate club.
Okay.
And I was the dietitian there, and I was working with the personal trainers to put together nutrition and fitness programs.
And you did that for how long?
Probably also a year and a half. And then I got pregnant at that time with my first son, who's now 15. And my husband and I at the time moved to the United States. And when I was in the States, I ended up working in hospital there, back in clinical setting, after I had my son, back in the clinical setting, on various floors. It was an oncology floor, it was a geriatric floor, whatever, in nutrition in the hospital.
So would you develop the programs for the patients, the nutrition programs for
nutrition
the patients?
Nutrition programs, yeah, but it wasn't so much a program, it was more protocol stuff. You follow protocol as to what you're supposed to do to either refeed them if they've had various surgeries, or help for a cardiac patient, putting them on proper diets for that, and all the information that they need to take home with them. Tube feeding stuff, again, in oncology, TPN tube feeding, refeeding people who've had parts of their gastrointestinal tract removed and they have to learn how to refeed and what foods are appropriate and not appropriate, etc.
So was this inpatient or outpatient?
Inpatient.
Okay, so were you working closely with the cafeteria then, or?
Not at all. We would write food prescription almost as to what kind of diets they would be able to take. The kitchen or the cafeteria, whatever you want to call it, has probably 50 or 75 different diets. So you pick within those diets and then you can modify anything you need. And again, it's a lot of education for when the patients leave.
What happened after that?
Had kids, really stopped doing nutrition stuff. Had my second son 21 months later. After having my second son, it was much harder for me personally to lose my weight and to get back into shape and to be the person who I always wanted to be again post kids. I loved exercise. I always wanted to be in great shape. And I went back and recertified a whole bunch of my old fitness certifications that I had in university. I used to teach fitness classes at university. And I became a spin teacher at Mayfair and a spin teacher at another place called Sensible Fitness that isn't around anymore. And I started training in the times that either my kids were napping or once they were 2.5, they were in school from 9 to 11. So I would go and teach classes at that time to get myself back into shape.
Mm. I see that a lot with spin instructors in particular that are also moms that wanted to do something on the side for some extra money.
Yes. Definitely. The extra money was also very nice. That was the bonus. The bonus, but being forced back into the industry and forced back into exercising and knowing that I had only a small window of time, it was a great use of my time. And again, got a paycheck, which was great, and started to get back into shape.
Good.
And then from Mayfair, I opened up Harmony.
And was Tippett your first location? Harmony Fitness on Tippett?
Tippett was my first location. I actually had one room inside my friend's dance studio, inside Rhythm Dance Studio. She gave me one room. And I had 8 spin bikes. And in 4 weeks, I had 8 spin bikes and 4 boxing bags. And probably 2 weeks after that, we had 10 spin bikes, 6 boxing bags, and I'd hired a second instructor. And from there, the place just got busier and busier, word of mouth, and from some of the people that were attending Rhythm Dance Studio knew that Harmony was there inside of it. And at the 6-month mark, we were using 3 of Haley's dance studios, 2 of Haley's dance studios plus the room that I had. So we were running out of 3 studios within 6 months, at which time it was time for me to find my own space. And I spoke to the landlord within that building, and there was a space that had come up. So I took over 7,000 square feet and opened up what Tippett is that you would know of now, which was about a 7,000 square foot 5 studio facility.
So when you first started, was it called Harmony Fitness?
Always called Harmony Fitness.
Was that your big dream to ultimately open up your own studio and then
Absolutely
a
not.
Couple studios?
Absolutely okay. not. It wasn't even on my radar. My friend who knew that I had done all of this fitness stuff in the past and knew that I had done lots of nutrition said, I'll give you space, like come back and do it. It was more of a peer pressure kind of thing, but also fun. I would work out with our group of friends and she's like, turn this into a business. You can do it. And it's a small community. It was sort of in a local residential area. And it really just sort of snowballed into something that I had no expectation of. I'm thrilled, but I had no expectations of what Harmony Fitness turned into.
Wow, that's actually really cool.
Yeah.
It just grew.
There was no business plan. There was no future plan. There was... it grew, and I had to accommodate the growth, and loved it. Absolutely loved every part of it, which was very helpful.
So I was going to, actually, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask. Do you have any business schooling background, or?
I have no business schooling background, but I have logic. And I will tell you that a lot of business is logic. I also now believe that I have very little fear when it comes to certain things, which I didn't know that I didn't have fear, but I wasn't afraid to try. I wasn't afraid to try and succeed or try and fail. And then when I recognized that things were succeeding, I wasn't afraid to try and make it bigger or different or just put myself out on the line to make other people happier.
Wow. Have you always been like that, even as a kid?
I have no clue. I really don't. It was, again, this is sort of something that took on a life of its own. And I guess I've always been someone who has helped other people at the expense of myself. I feel that Harmony Fitness is still a lot of that. I help a lot of people at the expense of myself, but I thoroughly thrive on seeing other people's success. So, but I don't think I was as much of a daredevil as I am now. I don't.
Because it's very interesting to see your brother and sister as well also be very entrepreneurial.
Correct.
So was that influenced maybe by your parents?
Well, I love my parents very, very much. Neither of them are business people. My mom was a physiotherapist turned social worker turned real estate agent and a professional athlete. She was a world-class tennis player until the age of 65. And my father, again, wonderful guy, was a dentist and had someone else run his office. So he was a very, very hard worker, and I think what my sister, brother, and I all got from our parents is that we're very hard workers and not afraid to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the common theme there also is we're not afraid to ask for help. None of us think that we can do it on our own. Bringing in good people who know more than us and accepting being able to brainstorm and talk together, I think is part of the beginning of having a business sense, is to know what your strengths and weaknesses are and not be afraid to pull in the right team together, to pull all the people in to make the best team. And I think that's more our business sense.
Right. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I think when I opened up my place, I think it was 7 years ago now, I just didn't have that. I wanted to do it all myself, be the only trainer, be the front desk staff, be the cleaning staff, and not outsource things that I wasn't good at, to focus on things that I was good at.
Yeah.
As I'm getting older, I'm starting to see that I need to ask for help.
Yeah.
Things will progress a lot faster that way, I guess.
It's hard to ask for help. You have to remove your ego. You have to remove your bank account. You have to remove your time and your time management skills. Being a parent, I only had so much time. So I got very early into the business, I had to designate specific hours because I had to be home. It wasn't an option. So I learned not so much to designate, but to ask. And then I learned when asking for help, you're paying for it. So someone's got to do what you're asking for when you're paying for it. And then hopefully with the right kind of relationship, people realize that they're not working for me, but they're working with me. That I like people's suggestions and I like everyone being a team. And the people who, over the years, the people who are not the best team members aren't here anymore. Like, I want a group of people who want to work together and not be bossed around, and to bring my brother and sister back into it. I know that their philosophies are very similar, whether they could verbalize it that way or not. I know that they work with all of their staff, not for them, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost like they share in the success of the company.
You hope so.
Yeah.
You hope so.
And that's what, I think that's what really drives people to be to be better. When they see that what they're doing is going to help the bigger picture stuff. And they're just not another number, like just an employee.
Yeah. Well, I would hope, I hope people see it the same way that I do. I know some do.
So how many years had you had Tippett open before you opened Eglinton?
Tippett was open for 8 years, 7.5 years before we opened up Eglinton. And what was happening over at Tippett is that we truly had reached capacity. at our prime times, we just couldn't bring in any more bodies. At our off times, we were starting to fill up nicely, which was great. And there's only so many off times you can nurture. So you can't run classes at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, because there isn't anyone around. So the challenges that we were facing by being at capacity at certain times is we had these wait lists, and it's everyone's dream to have people wanting to be where you are. But when people couldn't get in and use their passes, they started going elsewhere. So a wonderful problem turned into a horrible problem, and we had to accommodate that. I also was ready to open up a second location. I didn't know if I wanted it on the same capacity, massive, or if I wanted it smaller. So Eglinton gave us the privilege to try a smaller model, a reproducible model, potentially a franchisable model, or just a different style of harmony, an offset of harmony. And it worked. It worked. I don't know what to tell you more than that. Being inside a neighborhood is amazing. Being in a community is amazing. The community has embraced it completely. You see people at the bagel store, at the drugstore, the coffee shop in Harmony, and it's all part of their routine in that neighborhood. So it worked.
Yeah. I was spending one of my off hours walking around the neighborhood just going for a walk, and
everybody's
everybody. Hey Brandon, how's it going? Here's my kids, I'm gonna go drop them off at school. Now it's such a close-knit community. So when you moved from Tippett to Orphis, the transition, did you lose any people in the process, or
It's an excellent question. Did we lose people from Tippett to Orphis? The answer is yes, but we didn't lose them from Harmony as a brand, so they may have changed locations to Eglinton. Some definitely come to Orphis and some definitely go to Eglinton. But I don't think we've lost them to the actual business. We've just, they're spread out between the two facilities.
What do you think the one thing is that keeps people coming back?
It's an excellent question. We talk about it all the time. I think it's a whole bunch of things. One, it's taken almost 10 years, but I think we have the greatest group of staff ever, like from our front desk to our cleaners to our instructors. I think that everyone takes a wholehearted approach to being there. I think when people walk in our front door, they feel welcome. They don't just feel like another person walking into a big box gym. I think that the clients have made Harmony a piece of their life. It's part of their Starbucks. It's part of their routine. I know that if we didn't have power one day, it's the same as Starbucks running out of coffee. It's part of people's routine because they walk in and they feel like Norm from Cheers. Like it's part of their home. And we go very much out of our way to run it like that. We don't run it like a big box gym where it's just another person, membership by number. We run it where I want everyone to be known by name, and I want everyone to feel like they're the only person in a 20-person class. And again, that came with a great group of staff that we've hired. Harmony is different. Harmony's special. Harmony is there to make everyone feel like they can do it. Definitely some classes, but I don't believe many of our classes are so far-fetched, so hard, that people can't leave feeling like they have succeeded. I need them to feel like they've had some success or total success at the end of the hour. And I think that's a nice thing about Harmony. I think that there are other studios that are out there that push people so hard because they think that harder is better, and people walk out defeated. And defeated to me is failure. And defeated to a client feels like failure. So I think that Harmony offers success. I think it offers hand-holding in a very challenging way, but that people feel like they can do what we have to offer, and that the person who is instructing them and teaching them is there for them and because they want to be there, not because they have to be.
Then how did you find your instructors? Did you actively go out and find people, or did they come to you, or a combination of both?
Kind of a combination of both. I really have never picked up a phone and called anybody. I know that if an instructor at a different facility is so fantastic and people are like, oh my God, you got to call them. I have to go, I'm very careful not to step on anyone's toes. I'm like, if that person wants to call and you want to give them my number, that's great, and I'll have a conversation. With you, we had a mutual friend, someone who trained with you and trains with you, and she's coming back. I saw her the other day. But most people have approached us. based on Harmony's reputation. It's interesting that I have had many staff leave. They all come back, which I love. So either I'm doing something wrong or I'm not so horrible to work with or for. But I believe that Harmony, part of Harmony's attraction as well, is that Harmony offers creative freedom to the instructors. And a lot of fitness facilities these days are becoming very scripted, which means an instructor walks in and they have to just teach what they're told. And Harmony doesn't have that. And I would never ask someone to do something that is scripted unless they need help or unless they're a new instructor and they're looking to learn how to do things. But Harmony offers creative freedom, and I believe that that's out there in the fitness community, and that's how people approach us. So,
And people can really tell the difference when the workout's been scripted or if it has their own individual instructor's thought process and creativity and passion into it.
Yeah.
Because if they're following from a teleprompter, for example, it almost becomes robotic. Even the person giving the instruction becomes robotic, and it takes the passion out of it.
I agree. They don't have to. They just don't have to put in that passion. Counting down from 10 is counting down from 10. Counting down from 10 because we're excited that they're going to that next exercise, or we've planned it with our music, not scripted music, it's very different. It brings a different quality out of the instructor, which is nice.
All right, so I wanted to touch back on your ability not to be afraid of failing. Because I find that a lot with entrepreneurs. They're not afraid to take on new opportunities and realize the risk, but also realize the potential. Do you look at things at like a cost benefit? What's the risk to reward? Or do you just go and do it and see what happens?
Definitely both. Definitely both. I think that most entrepreneurs who are going by trial and error are crazy. I think we're crazy. There's no doubt about it. You have to have something in you that just says you can do it. Not afraid to sleep, not afraid to put yourself on the line and just go for it. Should we always look at a cost benefit? Of course you should. In our industry, as it has changed so much, it's very, very hard for me to make predictions. I used to be very good at predicting things. And again, our industry has changed. If you want to talk about that after, it's up to you. It's very hard for me to make predictions. So my entrepreneurship has become really trusting my intuition. And if it doesn't work, I think you've already seen it in a short time that we've worked together, I scrap it. I don't hold on to things very long. If a program isn't successful, we change it up. And if the program costs thousands of dollars to create, lesson learned, maybe sell some of the equipment, maybe give it away, whatever. But it's about moving on. So as much as you always want to weigh the cost benefits or the future benefits to the business, it's getting harder and harder in this industry to be able to do that.
Did you have any wall kicking moments along the way?
Like, I apologize, say that again.
Did you have any wall kicking moments? Any moments? Well, I'm sure you had periods where you were quite frustrated with things that were going on in the business, but did you have ever a point where you thought, how am I going to pay next month's rent, for instance?
I have that every month.
Every month.
Every month.
And so that's a constant thought. And does that drive you?
It's a constant fear. It's not a thought. It keeps me up at night. The fitness industry in North America, and probably the world, has changed tremendously. It has gone, fitness has become a business, whereas fitness used to be something that was done out of passion, where the person would clean the floors and teach the classes and whatever. So fitness has become a business. You now have people who are going into the fitness industry who are businessmen. It's just another product. And right now, fitness is in. It's something that couples do on a date. It's something that mom and son does on an outing. It's something that teenagers are doing and they never did before. So fitness has become a business. In part of the fitness industry changing, you have your big box gyms that have continuous revenue every month. All 5,000 members pay $100 a month, and they know on the first of the month, money's come in all the time. What has changed in the fitness industry in the boutique fitness market, which is where Harmony Fitness falls into, is we have clients who are on class packs. So in the big box market, they don't want you to show up because then there's no depreciation. There's less depreciation on their equipment. There's less wear and tear on their building. In the boutique market, where we need people to use up their passes so they buy more, it's more wear and tear on the building. We have more bodies through the building, but you never know if they're going to come. Okay, so in the boutique market, I need people to come. I need them to use their 10 classes so that they buy 10 more classes. If I was a good life, I just need to know that their credit card is going to clear or that there's money in their bank account because they debit from it and they never need to see the person. So there is that fear at holiday time, summers, school graduation time. You see a dip in the number of bodies through, therefore you see a dip in revenue. That is slightly predictable. So it's you asked about effort. You have to put in more effort at certain times of the year, but when people don't have the time to come in, it doesn't matter how much effort you put in or how much money you throw into in making it an incentive to come. And the second massive challenge in the fitness world is the introduction of discounted fitness. Clients are chasing the discount. There's always a discount somewhere. And we know that if the fanciest steakhouse in Toronto is offering 25% off their fancy steak dinner, there must be a reason. There must be a reason why it is discounted. So when I look at many different places that are offering 25% off, 50% off, 1 month free, 1 week free, why are they doing that? If you're running a great successful business, like a great successful steakhouse, you don't need to discount your brand. Again, when you look at Groupon, people can do 20 classes somewhere for $10. Why not just get the next Groupon for $10? And it's reflecting hard in the fitness industry. So many facilities are having to lower their prices, which lowers the quality of what they can offer, which in turn ends up offering less programming, less great equipment, less clean towels, less sanitary facilities. But it's a big factor in the fitness industry is that it's become a very discounted industry, and it shouldn't be.
Have you noticed a change since a lot of these studios have been opening up? Have you noticed people that go and try those studios and then they'll come back to Harmony?
Absolutely. So the fitness market, again, in North America specifically, because I can talk best about that, has become quite saturated. There is a fitness offering of some sort every couple of blocks. People always try and they always come back. So what is Harmony's formula that is still intriguing for people to return? I don't know, but we're doing something right, and we're going to continue to try our hardest to make it the place where people want to return back to their home. But people are trying lots of other things. And the fitness industry, as creative as it is, it's not that different. So it's about one's experience, or one's experience hour is what I typically call it. How can you make, from the second one walks into the door to the second that they leave, the best possible 60 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes that they can have with their personal trainer or with their class instructor, so that people want to stay at Harmony because there are so many other options out there.
Mm. Okay. What's, if you don't mind, what's the 5 or 10 year plan for Harmony? Or is there one, or do you need to keep that?
We talk about all those things all the time. I need to keep some of it under wraps.
Yes.
Some of it under wraps. Definitely there will be more Harmony Fitnesses around, for sure. I absolutely looked into a franchise model of Harmony. I sit on the fence with that. I just don't know yet. There's still a lot more education I have to do with respect to that. But that's not out of the question. I just don't have that answer. Harmony is starting to, let's call it partner, not partner meaning merge with, but starting to partner with more and more outside businesses that also involve the human body. So we are working with a dance school, we're working with a physiotherapy clinic, we're working with a cardiac rehab clinic, and this all occurs under Harmony's roof. So we're working with little kids, we're working with seniors, we're working with people of all the different ages through the spectrum, all the different health issues that people could be encountering. And Harmony's expanding on a bigger wellness level. more than staying just the same. So I like all the different tangents that involve the human body in motion and consumption. So I'm trying to touch on all those different things.
And that's probably going to be the one thing that really sets Harmony apart from other...
Correct.
...big box.
Correct.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all the questions I had. Did you want to throw in anything?
Come try Harmony Fitness.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for your time. I look forward to it.
All right, thank you,
Allie.
Thank
you so much.
All right.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Biceps and Banter with Brandon Crow. If you like our show, do us a huge subscribe, toss a review on iTunes, or maybe share the show with your friends. And if you want to know more, find us at fastingftw.com. Our Patreon is patreon.com/fastingftw.